I think
should we just release a whole episode on coaches?
I think there should be a catch episode.
You know what, folks? Screw it. We got six more minutes of coach content.
God, and can we talk about sleeper sofas?
Welcome to 80SP, the podcast, episode 177, recorded on March 6, 2024. My name is Connor, and today with my co-host Bryce, we hear from Bryce, the epic saga of his past coach purchases.
All right, you're...
We're recording now, but hey, well, your voice is loud. Let's do a little gain check here.
You're thinking about...
We got the Zoom H6, folks. We got to turn this down because my voice is too crispy. Say something into the mic, Bryce.
Shut up and listen to me.
All right, that's probably not going in the podcast, because yes. As a Canadian,
yes, it is.
We like to spread kindness in the world. All right. That was too loud. We are here in Bryce's apartment. Have we ever recorded in either of our apartments?
We have not.
And I got to tell you, probably the acoustics are fantastic in this apartment, because Bryce has got a lot of fluffy pillows, a lot of couch real estate. He's got twice as much couch real estate.
Have we done the couch story on the podcast?
No. You know what? I would say typically the listener doesn't care, but you know what? I'm actually kind of interested at this moment, which is rare, because
you must have heard this story.
Maybe give us a little quick jog of the memory.
Podcast. Hi, I'm only going to tell this story if you promise not to 10x it. I want to know.
I promise to not 10x all of it, but hey, if it's a good story, I'll leave the whole thing in. Give me a little time estimate.
They're all good stories. This is the second couch. I have a couch guy. This is the second couch that I've had this couch guy.
I'm going to interrupt you right there, folks. So I've been staying at Bryce's apartment. It's Wednesday afternoon. I got here Tuesday midday. Yeah. So I've been here for about 24 hours. That's Bryce eating an apple. Definitely the mic's picked that up. And Bryce is actually, he's got a very nice apartment. Very nice apartment. I will say, Bryce will maintain that his view is better than mine. It is not. I have one of the best views in Toronto.
One of the best views in Toronto is still worse than a bad view in New York. But we actually have a good view in New York. When you look out your window, you see?
I see the CN Tower. I see
you see Toronto.
I see America. You can see America. And that's the thing. I live so high up in
Canadians, get that right. Connor, when Connor was listing the great
that was
things,
for you. That was for
that,
you.
The great
that
things
was for
that you.
You
see from his apartment in Toronto.
That was for
like,
you.
The CN Tower and then, America. Yeah, you can see America.
Because if we roll a tape back, you were about to say that because it's just Canada, and so then I added America in there. Anyways, my point being, I have a nicer view, but Bryce has a much nicer apartment. He's got, I said they were gold fixtures. Bryce immediately corrected me. He said they're brass. It's very nice, though.
Brushed brass.
Ooh, there's a little tongue twister. Brushed brass. It's very nice. And yeah, he's got the walnut credenza. He's got the walnut coffee table. I was told that I would be killed if I put anything on the walnut credenza. And he also gave me the backstory.
I told Connor, you can put your stuff on the walnut coffee table. But I will kill you if you put anything on the credenza.
Which I appreciate. I appreciate the assertive, upfront communication. He could have just murdered me without that information.
The walnut coffee table is my oldest piece of furniture, and I do love it dearly. But it's not going to, I think, make it to the next apartment. But the credenza is much more of a unique piece and quite fancy and Spanish and... It's not Spanish walnut. We went over this yesterday.
Right,
not Spanish walnut. It's like, I think it's...
You said it was Brazilian walnut.
Somewhere in the Americas, walnut. It may be American walnut, it's made by people in Spain or Portugal. I don't remember the Iberian Peninsula, though.
All right. At this point, our listeners probably don't care anymore. But my point here was that, Bryce, I actually can't remember what you were saying that made me want to interrupt you, but
I was telling my couch story.
Yeah, but you said something specifically where I did want to comment that Bryce has a very nice place, and it is really the fixtures, you know, it's turning the tap on the bathroom. It's a lovely experience, folks. It makes me
the heated bathroom floors.
Yeah, that's also. I mean, that's nothing special. I mean, I've been in a few places that have that. I've never owned a place or rented a place that has that. But I will say it's just something I didn't realize in actually my whole life. I'm 33 now, folks. I've never lived in a place that wasn't kind of – it didn't feel like it had kind of like a, you know, not top class like the people that constructed it. It kind of feels like they cut corners. I feel like probably a lot of people listening have – this is a shared experience where – you know, little things in the apartment, things aren't screwed in completely well, or they kind of jiggle or blah blah blah, or you know, the water leaks here and there. Whereas it feels like Bryce's place, they got everything tightened real tight.
This is a universal facade. There is no price point at which you do not notice mistakes that were made in the place that you live. Mm. I just haven't picked up on
the ones in your place.
I could show you half. I mean, the ones here are not as bad as in, you know, other places I've lived. But I could show you half a dozen annoying little things, you know, around this place.
Okay. Well, yeah. Anyways, I'm just saying that when I turned the tap on, I did think to myself, I would like some taps like this in my next place that I live in.
You do have to be careful in the bathroom, though, because the hot water tap comes in one temperature. Which is
very hot.
Like scalding.
Yeah.
And it's one of those annoying ones where it's got two handles. And if you try to mix the water, the hot and the cold water, you pretty much always just get cold. And you have to like micro adjust to get like water that is not like scalding hot or just like completely cold. It's like we didn't need two knobs for this. One knob would have been fine.
This is true. It's a very poor design. It's the same thing that infuriates me ever. I read a book once called The Pursuit of Elegance, and it talks about many things, including like the fractal nature of Jackson Pollock's paintings and whatnot. But one of the things they point out is that doors that, you know, you enter and you push one way, and then when you exit, you pull. But most of these doors, they have handles on both sides. And so every single time, your natural inclination when you reach for a handle is to pull, because that's what it's designed for. So why is there any door that has handles on both sides, unless if it's bidirectional? If it is, you can only exit by pulling and entering by pushing, you should not have a handle. And any time that I grab or twist a handle or pull something and you have to push, it drives me nuts. Only because I read that book and then it got pointed out to me. And it's one of those things that now that it's been pointed out to me, it drives me crazy. I mean, it's the two taps for hot and cold, not the end of the world. Not necessary, but not the end of the world.
The other thing is the door. The door is not well fitted to that frame, and you'll notice. It's a great security feature. If you have the key to my apartment, you will not be able to get into the apartment unless you have lived in this apartment.
Yeah, because it's true. The first time I took the key, I twisted it left, I twisted it right, and I was like, did I grab the wrong key? And I was like, no, there was only one key. And then so sure enough, I did one of the things where you have to pull on the door or whatever, but then I just did it a little harder and it worked.
You have to like pull towards you and then push.
Yeah.
Just because it's like there's not enough clearance between the door and the door frame.
A few other things. Let me interrupt again. So now we're getting back to the couch. Don't worry.
I finished my apple. I was hungry. I didn't have breakfast or lunch today.
We're at the 7-minute mark. Maybe the 5-minute mark if I 10x 2 minutes of that.
What 2 minutes of that would you 10x?
But I'm you know what? It's rare that Bryce and I are in the same location. And as I said, that I do recall that we recorded like 8 episodes when we did our Slovenia road trip. But my point being is, if you're at the 7-minute mark thinking you're about to drop, if I include all this in, it'll be a 45-minute episode, so it'll be longer. So you'll get your regular 30, 35 minutes of content and all this extra stuff. We're keeping in for the listener that, likes to hear the interesting stuff and the less interesting stuff, or should I say the tech stuff and the non-tech stuff. Back to the couch.
I'm gonna like, as much as I love our chit-chat, we're going to do this couch story real quick, because then I'm going to yell at you about grouping operations.
Right, we're going to talk about.
So I have a couch guy. He is.
Oh, that's what made me think of it, because you already had a furniture or like walnut person, or is this all the same? How many people? How many people do you have?
I feel like I've told the couch guy story before.
But you also told me you had an interior decorator.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So the couch. Answer the question. The couch. How many people do you have that are responsible for any form of furnishing or apartment decorating stuff.
I think it's really just the decorator and the couch guy. So I have a couch guy. His name is Hans. He has a great freaking mustache. In Berkeley. I think they're called Alpha Designs Berkeley. So he's designed my last two couches, and he will design every couch that I own until I die.
What do you mean design? This is a custom-made couch?
This is a custom-made couch.
Oh, my goodness.
And when I say custom-made, most people are like, oh, you mean he, like, picked the fabric? No. Every dimension of this couch was, like, specifically... selected. So
are we allowed to ask how much this couch cost then?
Or surprisingly affordable.
What does that mean? Are we going to alienate our listeners by listing this price?
I mean, I think it was $5,000, and I think you can spend a lot more on a couch. Like, if you're buying like a leather couch, you can spend like $10,000 or $15,000. The fact that this is a bespoke couch that was made in America, I think it's a pretty good price.
Are we? So you're comfortable with leaving that in the episode? Because to me, that sounds like 5x more than any couch I've owned.
If you know anything about couches, you'll know that that's like,
which clearly Connor does not.
That's like mid range for couches. Like as a point of reference, the Eames chair, which is not a couch, but is an iconic recliner chair with a futon. And is leather, admittedly, so it's more expensive. But like an Eames chair will run you like $7,000 to $8,000, and like that's like probably like the highest end of like chairs. That's just like the only other piece of sitting furniture whose price I know off the top of my head.
All right. So there you go, folks. $5,000 bespoke couch.
Yeah. So not that expensive. So Hans designed my first couch when I started at NVIDIA, and I moved down to Santa Clara because I'd driven back past his store in Berkeley like a dozen times, and I'd always wanted to go in. And then when I got the job at NVIDIA, they gave me a nice starting bonus. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go in and buy a couch from this man. I went in, custom designed a couch for me. And there was one aspect of the couch where I said I wanted this, and he told me I was wrong. And it was a section like this where it had a lounger where you've been sleeping. And then it had like a regular like couch body, like two pieces. It was sort of L-shaped. But unlike this couch, I put an arm both on this side here, but also the back wrapped around, and there was an arm on that side there on the end of the big lounger piece. Now the lounger piece was great because I could lie down while I was watching TV and, you know, fall asleep, because I tend to fall asleep while I'm watching TV, which is wonderful, nice and cozy. However, because I put the arm on the end of the Shea Lounge, it was just large enough for me to lie down, but then my feet would just barely be pressing up against the arm. And so it wouldn't be like 100% comfortable. I would have to take off the back pillow and like sit in a very specific way to be able to like really just relax and lie on that part of the couch. And Hans had told me, like, when I'd asked him to put the arm on the end of the Shea Lounge, he'd been like, "Are you sure?" And I was like, "Yeah, that's exactly what I want." But Hans knew, because he is a couch wizard. He knew that I shouldn't have made that decision, because he knew that people like to lie down in their Shea Lounge. So anyways, that was couch number one. Her name was Bertha. I thought the fabric that I picked was going to be more...
Wait, that wasn't the couch we're sitting on right now?
No, we're going to get there.
That was a $5,000 couch?
No, that was like I think I paid like $1,500 to $2,000 for that couch.
Okay, that's all right then.
But that one was my couch in Silicon Valley for like 3 or 4 years. Her name was Bertha. I thought that her fabric was going to be more of like a silvery blue, but it turned out it was really kind of closer to a green. That's on me. Great couch, but it was too big for this apartment because this is 100 inches. And I think Bertha was like 120 inches. And so there is just barely enough room. It's actually 3 feet from the end of this couch to the start of my, kitchen table here. My, what do you call these?
I mean, when they're disconnected, they're called islands, but yours is connected to the wall.
Yeah, yeah, from the kitchen island. Let's call it the kitchen island. Yeah. So the reason that it's 3 feet is because I specifically, you know, I specifically built this couch to be the maximum amount of space that it could be, leaving just 3 feet there, because 3 feet is usually the amount of space that you want in between, you know, any piece of furniture and a wall. You want like 3 feet of clearance. That's enough space for people to move. So, Bertha was too big. So I tried to buy a couch like a regular human being. Like, I went to stores, I looked at couches. It took me like 4 days to find this apartment. And then it took me like 8 days to find the couch for this apartment. So I found a couch that I thought I was gonna like. It was from, I don't remember where, EQ3 or something like that. Some leather couch, but it had like multiple separate cushions. So it sort of made it like hard to lie down on, but I finally found one that I was like somewhat okay with. I ordered it. I went back to California to pack up my stuff to move to New York. And it was my birthday, and I was going to Yosemite for my birthday, to go on a hike. And I get to Yosemite, and it's like the evening before I'm going to go on my hike, and I'm at the hotel, and I'm just like, I fucking hate this couch that I just bought. It's all wrong. It's not going to be comfortable enough. It is not the perfect, like, couch that I have in my head. And I knew that, like, Hans didn't really, like, this guy, he'd build couches, sort of only served the Bay Area. And that's why I'd never considered like having him build a second couch for me. But I was just I'd been searching for a couch for like more than a week and had just been unsuccessful. I'd finally ordered something, then decided I hated it. And so that night in Yosemite, I called up the company who I just ordered a couch from, canceled that order. It must have been after the hike that I made this decision, because I called up Hans, and I remember telling Hans, hey, Hans, I have a couch emergency. I'm in Yosemite today. I'm driving back to the Bay Area tomorrow. I can be in your shop like tomorrow morning, or maybe it was like the day that I drove back. But I was basically like, I have a couch emergency. Like, can I order a couch from you, and then can you figure out how to get the couch from California to New York? And he's like, I will come up with a plan for that. So I went in. And we worked to design this couch. And the way it works is he has some like reference designs that you can start with, and then you can like customize them pretty much however you want. Like this, the reference design for this one, it had like a little seam here that I didn't like. So I was like, we're not doing that. And like the specific height of this, like I specifically picked how high this arm was going to be. There's a lot of back and forth about that. But the major thing was the length of this Shea Lounge, which I don't remember how many inches it was. I think it's like 89. No. It was going to be 89. So originally it was much shorter, but I wanted it to be long enough to lie down on. But I told him, like, all right, let's make it 92 inches. And he's like, all right, if you make it 92, though, it's going to be more expensive, because that's more than a 30-inch extension from the original reference design. And we can do it, but if you keep it under 30 inches, you'll save, like, let's say it's, like, $300. And so originally, I'm like, all right, I'll just keep it as 89. And then I went home, and I thought some more about it, and I was like, you know, it's only 3 inches. But when I designed this out and measured this for, like, my body length, like, I determined that I needed those 3 extra inches. So I call him up and I'm like, dude, I want it to be 92 inches. I don't care if it costs $300 more. And that's the story of this couch. It's got like down inside with like a memory foam core. So it's very comfortable. Ramona wasn't a believer in the couch at first. She thought it was too soft, but she has since become a couch convert. Can I now yell about grouping operations?
Yeah, you just got to give me 60 seconds. So I will say, folks, that what we're really going to do here is I will leave my 60 seconds in, and we're starting the podcast. You're listening to this. This is like the first couple minutes of the podcast. At the end of this 45-minute podcast, there's going to be 15 minutes about Bryce's apartment and a not short description of the effort that went into designing both of his custom couches, because I actually found it interesting. And the reason is, like, probably a day ago I wouldn't
have... And there will probably have to be a third couch, too.
Absolutely, and we will talk about that when you design that in the future now, because a day ago I
wouldn't... No, I'm going to explain... Fuck you, I'm going to explain right now.
No, this couch was...
This couch was specifically designed for this apartment, and the chances that this couch will fit in another apartment, pretty low. So chances are this thing is going to find a new home when we move to a new apartment, and we'll just have to design another one.
All right, but the design of the next one will come up in a future episode. But the reason that I'm saying that a day ago I wouldn't have cared is because I don't really consider myself... Like, I care about algorithms and, like, board games and stuff, but, like, interior design and whatnot, like, I could care... Like, I put literally the... what do you call them? Like, poster card boards that you buy at the dollar store, and then I just write stuff on them, and I hang that stuff up on my wall. My girlfriend absolutely hates it. And they may not be there anymore. Anyways, the point being is that after having slept on this couch for one night and having the TV, I've realized that, like, yeah, I'm missing out on life, not in a minor way, but in, like, a major way. Because when you're sitting on the couch with, like, two people, what if you want to lie down? But if you've just got a regular, like, we haven't really mentioned it, but this is, like, an L-shaped couch with, like, the regular couch part and then the chaise lounge part that Bryce referred to. And that gives you the ability, if you got multiple people and you just want to sit side by side, or if you want to lay down, like, very comfortably, you don't have to then go on your side and worry about getting a pillow to prop your neck up. And maybe this is, like, basic knowledge for, like, a certain category of adults, but I am not in that category of adults.
No,
and
it's not just you. It's just that, like, there are very few people who have thought as deeply about couches as I have thought about couches. Yeah,
but just having slept on this couch has made me realize that, like, I'm doing couches wrong. And that's why a day ago I wouldn't have cared about that couch explanation. I would have been like, who cares, Bryce? But having slept on this couch, comparing it mentally to my couch in my head or in my apartment.
Does your couch have multiple cushions?
It has three cushions in the seated spot and then three sort of back cushions. Yes. I'll link it in the description.
Multiple cushions.
It's a hand-me-down IKEA couch from my sister when she moved to Calgary.
Multiple cushions are, like, the bane of my existence. Like, we have, like, an individual cushion for, like, each individual spot because it makes it super uncomfortable to lie down on the couch. And it's just, like, a scam by the couch industry. The theory of it is, oh, well, if you have multiple cushions and each person, like, one person sitting down doesn't infect the other person sitting down. But, like, how common is it for people to sit on a couch where they're, like, all seated next to each other, just sitting there like it's a chair? Nobody does that. The reason that they have the smaller cushions instead of one big larger cushion, can you guess, Connor?
It's easier to ship
and it's cheaper to make.
Yeah, it's just a cost
thing. It is cheaper to make smaller cushions instead of one bigger cushion. Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's the same thing with the, like, glass panes and windows, right? Like, the bigger ones are way more expensive because they're way harder to ship and they're way harder to manufacture. Whereas if you get a bunch of smaller ones like this, it's weight, you can stack them, takes less space, etc.
My couch doesn't so much have cushions as it has, like, a mattress. Like, the one for the Chaise Lounge is basically the size of, like, a single mattress. And then there's one for the other piece, too. Yeah.
Yeah, but it is, you know what, folks? All right, once again, it's been like 4 minutes. So here's what's really going to happen. We're going to start talking about algorithms in 60 seconds. This is probably going to be like a 50-minute to an hour episode. I'm not going to edit.
Just do a couch episode, man.
I don't think... Do people really want a couch episode?
I think they do.
Should we?
I think.
Should we just release a whole episode on couches?
I think there should be a couch episode.
You know what, folks? Screw it. We got six more minutes of couch content.
God, and can we talk about sleeper sofas?
All right. So wait, though. You know, once again, listeners, this is the same thing I've engaged this time, whereas that episode, what was it about? Not the VIN, VIN numbers.
For the record, I was ready to just jump in without any intro and talk about grouping operations and, like, be on topic. I was ready to go. I was ready to do this regardless of whether we were going to talk on a podcast or not. because we were just talking about work stuff, and I wanted to engage with you on this topic. But you were the one who wanted to do the fluff, and then you got the couch story.
I don't know exactly if that's how it went down. I think I mentioned something, then you wanted to talk about the couches, but then because of my interest, it's ballooned into something more. But like I was about to say before we talk about sleepers or whatever the heck those are, similar to, what was it, the credit card number episode, I thought that was going to flop. I thought it was going to flop, folks. We asked for feedback, and overwhelmingly, every single piece of feedback was mostly positive, and some of them said it was the funniest episode yet. Please, once again, link in the show notes to a GitHub discussion or leave feedback on Twitter.
I am not promising that this is going to be a good episode.
I just like to know, would you have preferred us to just cut this stuff? Or what I was going to do is just post-fix it unedited, because then it doesn't take any extra time. I just, whatever, splice it together, and it saves me an extra hour. And let us know.
I'm rearing to talk about sleeper cells.
All right. So, and also, let's just check the timestamp. We got 25 minutes and 20 seconds. Yeah. Okay. So we got 5 minutes to keep this into a tight 30. Go, sleepers. Okay. First of all, what is a sleeper?
So a sleeper sofa is a sofa that somehow transforms into a bed. Usually there's like a mattress that's underneath.
A pull-out sofa.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's a mattress that's underneath the seat of the couch, and it like pulls out. Now here's the thing. And there is a deep lesson in my opinion of sleeper sofas, a deep life lesson here. And I have spent some time sleeping on sleeper sofas. My grandparents, who actually worked in the furniture industry. Fun fact, Bryce's grandparents were furniture salespeople and interior decorators. But despite being furniture salesmen, they have a fucking terrible sleeper sofa, the most uncomfortable one in the world. And then for some reason, my aunt bought the same one. Like, everybody in the family, this sleeper sofa is so bad that when people go over to stay with people stopped staying with my grandparents because it was so uncomfortable. But two, we would just take the mattress out of the sleeper sofa and just put it on the ground because that'd be more comfortable. But so why do sleeper sofas suck? Well, because they tend to be bad at being a bed and bad at being a sofa. Like, they're trying to be two things, and they do both of them in a mediocre fashion. And like, I wanted a sofa that I'd be able to sleep on, but specifically, I avoided anything that you could call a sleeper sofa. I just wanted a big couch that would have a space like this Shea Lounge that would be suitable for not only one, but two people can actually sleep on there side by side. But because it's not a sleeper sofa, because it's not trying to be two different things, it is far more successful and a lot less bulkier. Although one design problem with this couch, which I did not know I was going to have a dog when we got this couch, because I got this couch prior to the girlfriend and the dog. There is space underneath the couch. It does not have like feet or a runner that goes to the floor, and the next couch will have some sort of runner or something that goes to the floor. Can you guess why?
Because the dog likes to hide under the couch.
Because the dog likes to hide her balls under the couch. Because the dog only likes to play if she has our attention. Playing on her own, that's no fun for her. She wants our attention, and so she has. You know, the first few times that she lost the ball under the couch, she would whine and complain. She'd be like, "Hey, come help me," and we'd come help her. And then she'd be like, "Aha, I have learned a new trick. If I just put the ball underneath the couch, or if I put the ball in between the couch and the window where I can't reach it, and then I whine and look pathetic, then the humans will come and retrieve it for me." So the next apartment is going to have no spaces where the dog can lose the ball.
Look at that. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Be sure to check the show notes either in your podcast app or at adspthepodcast.com for links to anything we mentioned in today's episode, as well as a link to a GitHub discussion where you can leave thoughts, comments, and questions. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed and have a great day.
Low quality, high quantity. That is the tagline of our podcast.
That's not the tagline. Our tagline is chaos with sprinkles of information. Yeah.